This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
Jesus builds his church so that his followers will grow as spiritually mature worshipers of God. The mission of the church is to help every follower become more and more and more like Jesus.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, Become Like Him.
It's our joy to open up our Bibles today together to Colossians chapter 1, where we learn about what it means to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We learn more about this process that God has us who believe in Jesus to engage in all through our lives of becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, someone has once said that if we're not growing, we're dying. And that's true spiritually, that God would have us move from one stage of glory to the next by the power of his Spirit through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that today we're more like Jesus than we were yesterday, and tomorrow we will be more like Jesus than we are today. And yet for many, that's not their experience. There's some place in their life where they grow, and then they stop, and they get stuck, and they even move backwards. So where are you on this growth chart of becoming more and more like Jesus? I pray that Colossians chapter 1 will restart all of us and reinvigorate us so that we would be excited about growing and we know how we can grow into the likeness of Jesus. Let's open up our Bibles together to Colossians 1.
Well, I will forever marvel that God has allowed me to be part of his church, part of his family, part of his called out people. Being part of Jesus' church means that we are part of an eternal plan to bring spiritual life to spiritually dead people in this world. So we have a purpose that never loses its meaning, never loses its power. Being part of Jesus' church means that we're part of a kingdom that wins over the kingdom of darkness, a kingdom filled with sin and death. And this means that the final word for us is victory. Being part of Jesus' church means that we're part of a family where we're loved by God and we love each other, a family that does not break apart because the Father's power keeps us together, being part of a family that we're going to enjoy one another for all of eternity. Look around. The folks that are part of your family, the folks you're going to see forever and ever and ever and ever. That's amazing, isn't it? Being part of Jesus' church means we're part of a miracle that God is doing, that he is working in a church to perfect imperfect people. As you look around, you see imperfect people. And if you look down, you'll see that in yourself. But this is a miracle that God is doing, and it's a miracle that will be completed. Being part of Jesus' church means that we have an inheritance that is secure for us. It's a treasure. It's a richness that can't be described. This value of this inheritance, it never degrades, and it can never be stolen from us. And being part of Jesus' church means that we are forever loved by God as our Father. We are his bride, and Jesus is our bridegroom. This past week, Kimberly and I were reading our devotions from J.C. Ryle's commentary in Matthew 9. And I really commend J.C. Ryle's commentary as a source for devotions for couples or families. It's really a great resource. But we're both moved to tears by one paragraph. Let me read it to you. What the bridegroom is to the bride, the Lord Jesus is to the souls of all who believe in him. He loves them with a deep and everlasting love. He takes them into union with himself. They are one with Christ and Christ in them. He pays all their debts to God. He supplies all their daily need. He sympathizes with them in all of their troubles. He bears with all their infirmities. He does not reject them for a few weaknesses. He regards them as part of himself. Those that persecute and injure them are persecuting him. The glory that he has received from his Father, they will one day share with him. And where he is, there they shall be. Such are the privileges of all true Christians. They are the Lamb's wife. Such is the portion to which faith admits us. By it, God joins our poor, sinful souls to one precious husband. And those whom God thus joins together shall never be put asunder. Blessed indeed are they that believe. Amen. Today we open up our Bibles to Colossians 1. I believe these verses provide us such clear, concise, concrete truths upon which Jesus builds his church, upon which Jesus matures us toward Christ's likeness. Now, Satan distracts us from these simple truths. He distracts us not so much with bad things as with good things. Let's pray that God will give our church conviction to courageously stay on course, to hold on to these concise, clear, concrete truths that help guide us in our mission for our own personal lives and the mission that we have together as a church. The main idea that we're going to follow through Colossians 1 is that Jesus builds his church so that his followers will grow as spiritually mature worshipers of God. The mission of the church is to help every follower become more and more and more like Jesus. If you're taking notes today, we begin with the goal of every follower of Jesus. You might want to just write in the word in your note, progression. That's the goal, that we'll make progress. They will move from one stage of glory to another stage of glory in reference to the transformation that God is working in our individual lives. Progression. You might ask the question, well, what is the target that Jesus sets for every follower to aim at and then to hit? What is the target? And the answer is the bullseye of God's goal for our lives is progress in spiritual maturity. The healthy Christian life is one of gradual but sure progress in Christ's likeness. None of us has arrived. None of us can say the race is finished. That doesn't happen until we see Jesus Christ stand before him and are perfected in glory. But this is the goal, that we, every day, we'd make progress. Let's read verse 28 and 29 together to see that this is true. Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that, and there's the purpose statement, there's the goal statement, here's what all this proclaiming Christ and teaching and warning has to do, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. He says, for this, what's this? Well, this is spiritual maturity of every person. For this, for the spiritual maturity of every member of this church, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So Paul is describing his ministry as a leader in Jesus' church, and he tells us in the most simple and clear way possible what his goal is as a spiritual leader, and that is to present everyone mature in Christ. In this, Paul aligns himself perfectly with Jesus' statement in Matthew 28 when Jesus declares the goal of every follower. Jesus comes to his disciples. He says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other words, they must first become converts, newborn babes in Christ, baptizing them, and then they must make progress, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Colossians 1:28, you might circle that word mature. Paul uses this term here to describe a person who has transitioned from being an infant into childhood, and then from childhood into grown adulthood. Now, every person begins the Christian life in the exact same stage, and that's being an infant. Just as it's true physically that there's not one person who begins their physical life as a toddler or as a 10-year-old child or as a teenager or as an adult. No one begins their life that way. We all began our life as an infant, and then there was a growth process. So it is with every person who comes to faith in Christ. We all begin as spiritual infants. But God would not have us remain as spiritual infants. He would have us to grow to maturity. The application I would draw from this simply following Jesus means that I make it my main aim in life to become spiritually mature, that I never become satisfied with where I presently am because there's always progress to be made, and that I make it my aim. This is the central goal that God would have for me today, to take steps forward in growth toward maturity in Christ. And so the application, I would encourage you to say, I will not be distracted or deterred from this pursuit, but I will chase it by faith with all the strength of my being. It is what life is about. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 writes this, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. God doesn't want us to remain infants or toddlers. He says, be infants in evil, yes. That's the kind of innocence that's lauded. But in your thinking, be mature. He's using the same kind of analogy. And in Ephesians chapter 4, as he describes the work of a pastor and a teacher, he says this, that God gave pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, so that then the ministry would be the building up of the body of Christ. And when is that work complete? What's its goal? Until we all attain to a mature manhood. That's what the goal of ministry is. So that we might no longer be children. Well, what does it mean to be mature in Christ? If that's the goal to which we are called to pursue, the focus and aim, what does it mean? Well, spiritual maturity simply is becoming more and more like Jesus. It's become more and more like Jesus in our thinking, in our habits, in our attitudes, in our lives. Becoming more and more like Jesus in our obedience to the Father. More and more like Jesus in the way we think about problems, in our attitudes toward people or circumstances, in our conversations, in our fellowship with the Father, in our hatred of sin, in our passion for God's glory. Becoming spiritually mature just simply means that more of us is becoming more like Christ. If you are ever asked, well, tell me, why did Jesus create his church? The answer from Colossians 1 and other scriptures is that Jesus created his church so that God's children would grow into maturity. Now, keep in mind, as you think about that simple statement, it might seem unremarkable, and yet it is a statement that is challenged by people in the church all the time. Think of how many other answers godly people might give to the question, well, why did Jesus create his church? Some might say, well, Jesus created his church in order to preach his word to the world. And it's true that preaching is a necessary means of helping people to become mature in Jesus. Preaching the word is not the mission of the church. It's not the end goal. It's the means toward the end. Someone says, well, Jesus created his church to feed the hungry. And true, feeding the hungry is an expression of love that mature disciples have for needy people. That's what maturity brings us to, is that kind of love and that kind of response when we see needs around us. But feeding the hungry is not the end goal or aim of the church. Another says, well, Jesus created his church to bring about racial reconciliation. And true, racial reconciliation is the natural outcome of spiritual maturity. But racial reconciliation is not the target of our efforts. Someone says Jesus created the church to keep our country free and moral. And it's true, when the church makes mature followers of Jesus, they influence the morality of the culture. And they typically vote in representatives who are moral and who love freedom. I believe that. But keeping our country free and moral is not the mission of the church. Someone says, well, Jesus created his church to care for the widow and orphans. And it's true. The caring for the widow and orphan is an expression of true religion. Neglect of caring for widow and orphans in the community of the saints would deny the necessary outworkings of the gospel. But caring for the widow and orphan is not the goal of Jesus' church. Someone might even say, well, Jesus created his church to make converts who would be baptized and added to the number of the church. And true, disciples can't mature until they first become converts. But our goal is not completed at a person's conversion. The goal is more than conversion, to help every member of the church grow in Christ-likeness. Now, this is Jesus' church, and this is Jesus' goal that's presented throughout Scripture for his church. Jesus alone has the right to create the goal of the church, the aim of the church. I don't. None of our elders do. We don't sit around and say, what do you think the goal of our church should be? It's already been defined for us. It's not our church. It's Jesus' church. It says, here's what it is. And there's a lot of emphasis you might have, but here's what it is basically, is that every person that God sends into your midst, because of what you're doing in reference to proclaiming Christ and teaching and admonishing every person, that they're in an environment where they can grow into spiritual maturity. That's the goal. So here's the simple truth. The goal by which church leaders measure their efforts is the growing spiritual maturity of every member. Now here's a problem. We all have a tendency to want the church to be focused on the things that we personally are passionate about. Some might say, well, this church is not doing what it's supposed to do because it's supposed to do, and we fill in the blank, with something that we're really passionate about. And it's not wrong to be passionate about that thing, whatever that thing is. But again, what Jesus says is that this church, every church, is to be about simply presenting every member mature in Christ. We measure our own church on the basis of Jesus' goal, Jesus' aim, Jesus' purpose, and not on our own purpose, our own goal. So what does the New Testament say that Jesus is passionate about? Well, simply making disciples, people who grow more and more into the likeness of Christ. I ask you to strengthen your church family by making Jesus' goal your goal, so that the church is not distracted from that one aim. Again, there's a lot of other works, there's a lot of other aspects, expressions of faith and love that a church may be part of, but here's the center. Everything else is on the circumference of that circle. Here's the center. Here is the target, that we are a people who is about helping every one of us grow in spiritual maturity. Look at verse 28 again. Him we proclaim, warning every person, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present every one mature in Christ. As a pastor, my work's goal is not to preach powerful sermons. My work's goal is not to visit the sick, to counsel the confused, to care for the hurting, to encourage the disheartened, or to organize ministry, or to manage people as we're involved in some good aspects. Now, I do all of those things. All those things are part of the work that I do. These are all necessary means toward this one goal. But the goal must be clear. I must not, you know, after perhaps preaching a message that I'm satisfied with or a whole bunch of other people may be satisfied with, say, hey, my goal has been accomplished. I preached a biblical sermon that had some applicable relevance that people were interested in. My goal is that this teaching would help you to grow into spiritual maturity. You know, sometimes my worst sermons actually accomplish the most toward that goal, and I should be satisfied with that. I shouldn't, well, you know, I really feel like I messed up, I stumbled and stuttered, I didn't tell that joke right. How often does that happen? What I need to do, and sometimes my best sermons that I consider the best, maybe that capture the most attention, may have the most minimal impact to helping you grow in maturity. The goal is that the work that I would do, and I would encourage you to make that your goal as you work inside the body of Christ, your church family, to help other brothers and sisters grow in maturity. You know, growing up in the church, I had an awesome opportunity to hear the gospel from many, many people. I can't tell you how many Sunday school teachers I've had from the time that I was little growing up. And all of them, I think, were pretty faithful people. I don't remember a bad Sunday school teacher. I remember a couple of them because of the dynamic impact they had upon my life. And one of the things that I think about, I remember Frank Walters in fifth grade. He owned a gas station. He was one of the most simple, sincere men that I've ever been around, but he had just a passion to invest in my life and to see that I grow in Christ. And then I remember a guy, Phil Gontos, he's in heaven now, in high school. I'm sure there's others that I'm missing. But I remember those two men because what? I never had the sense that they felt that their work was finished after they shared a good Bible lesson with me. The goal of their teaching Sunday school was not to teach a good lesson. the goal of their teaching good biblical lessons was to help us grow in maturity in Christ. And that's a big difference, isn't it? They didn't stop with, hey, I taught a good lesson, my job is over. No, they had a concern for me. And I think they had a concern for everyone who came underneath their ministry. The goal that we have is that we would help one another grow into spiritual maturity. The other things are good means. You know what's exciting about this? Healthy children are really excited about growing up. And parents, when they see their children grow up, are really excited to be part of that. That's always true. I've learned this afresh through my now 3-year-old grandson, Malachi. About 2 months ago, you know, I go visit him, and we often have Friday mornings together, and we make blueberry pancakes. That's what he wants. That's what we make. Sometimes sausage biscuits. But I came over to pick him up about 2 months ago, and you know, I started picking him up to put him in the car seat. He says, no, I can do that. Oh, really? You've never done that on your own? But no, I can do that. And he wanted to show me how he could get up into the car, climb up into his car seat, and sit down all on his own. Oh, okay, he did it. Amazing. And then when we're done, you know, hey, coming down is a little more dangerous. I'm thinking he might trip over, you know, the door there and fall on his face onto the side, so driveway. So I wanted to get him up. No, gee, I can do that. And I'm there really, you know, watching him. But sure enough, he did it. And every time he did, he has this look of joy, like, look at me, I'm a big boy now. I can do this. This last week, I went over to his house, and he came running down the stairs. OG. He says, you know what I can do? I said, no, what can you do? And his mom came down with him. She had a big smile. She says, I can put my shirt on all by myself. And he already had this long sleeve shirt, but he showed me. He took it all off, and it took him a long time. Took it all off, and then he put it on again. There was such joy on his face, and there's joy on his mom's face, too, because she was part of that growing up process. And that's what's really exciting in a church. It's exciting to grow. It's kind of dull and boring not to grow. And it's exciting when we get to be part of other people growing. In verse 28, I want you to underline the word everyone. How often does the word everyone appear? Did you notice that? He says, him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone. The emphasis is on every member of this church, that there's no one's left behind.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
I pray that Colossians chapter 1 has been a stimulant to help us become more and more excited as followers of Jesus Christ about growing into Christ's likeness, about becoming more and more like Him. But we're thankful for you at Knowing Christ. We pray for our listeners. We pray that God would work in your life so that if you don't know Jesus as Savior, that God would open up your heart to see His excellence and to trust in Him. And that if you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd follow Him. That you'd follow Him and grow to become more like Him and be used by Him for His glory and become a person whom God uses to share with unbelievers the greatness and goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, bring hope to many. So we want to give you a resource as you think about your own personal growth in Christ. It's a resource that I've used often as one of my most beloved books. It's called Holiness by J.C. Ryle. It really encourages us in our growth in Christ, everything we've been talking about in Colossians 1. If you'd like that book, we'd love to send it to you free so that it might be encouragement to you to grow for the glory of God.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.